You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Sheriff's Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis on Wednesday, February 4th. Thank you for joining me, Quentin, to bring the community an update from the Wood County Sheriff's Department.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
And we also have along for an interview today, Cherith DeFabio. She is joining the Sheriff's Department in a new grant-funded co-responder position. This is a diversion program for nonviolent offenders that can help rather than them spending time in the Wood County Jail. Thank you for being here, Cherith.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
All right. So before we dive into this new position, Chief Deputy Ellis, I'm hoping that you can fill us in on where Sheriff Becker is today. So let me finish, though, because we crossed lines and I didn't even get to talk to him last month. And now he's standing me up for this. But no, I'm kidding. He's doing important stuff down in Madison. So fill us in on what he's doing.
Yeah, he's sorry he can't be here. He enjoys the show, but he is getting ready to testify before the assembly on upcoming bill to regulate cryptocurrency kiosks in Wisconsin. So it's something we've been passionate about. He and Investigative Lieutenant Scott Goldberg have been doing an excellent job at kind of leading the way to try and get some legislative help for our residents of Wood County.
So let's explain for the listeners a little bit what a crypto kiosk is. They're mostly found in convenience stores or places of that nature. But how does the scam work?
So they look similar to an ATM. As a matter of fact, before we started taking complaints of the scams taking place, I'd probably walked past them hundreds of times when I was in convenience stores without realizing it and just thinking it was another ATM. So what it is it's really a way that scammers use to take people's cash from them. They will call with any amount of different scenarios. It might be one was actually people were calling saying they were me, me from the Wood County Sheriff's Department needed you to put money in a cryptocurrency kiosk to avoid coming to jail. And unfortunately, it works, and these people are good at it. They target a lot of times elderly people that fall victim to this. That want to avoid trouble, that they want to be in accordance with the law that they believe. So what it does is they go to these kiosks that are currently unregulated and really unsupervised, and people go and put their cash in, and these scammers have them then forward what is called a cryptocurrency wallet. So I might go to the ATM crypto kiosk and put in $1,000, and then that money's gone. It's deposited digitally into a digital wallet, and then they have you give access over to the scammer. The scammer then takes that money, usually routes it overseas or somewhere else, and our poor victims are now out thousands and thousands of dollars in a lot of these instances before they even realize what happened. And there's really not been a lot of recourse because there's not statutes that regulate the use of these machines. They charge inordinate, just absurd user fees to the people using them. And in a lot of cases, they aren't very friendly working with us to make our victims whole again. Mm. Wood County has taken a very upfront lead approach on these matters, in which we still fully investigate them. We do our best to seize the money that's located in the machine and work with the companies that are willing to work with us to get that money back to our victims. Again, the premise usually starts with legal troubles from a caller saying there's somebody else, or a family member's in trouble, or any number of tug at your heartstrings or fear mongering to get people to go put cash into this machine, and once it's in, really, it's very hard to get back.
So this legislation that they're trying to pass, you and I believe that it's Assembly Bill 968. This has broad bipartisan support at the Capitol level, and it would protect both consumers and also operators. So the people who own the convenience stores, I'm assuming that would be the operators that own the convenience stores that house these kiosks. This legislation would protect both.
Absolutely. This legislation's been a long time coming. Like I said, I know Sheriff Becker and Lieutenant Goldberg have really been at the forefront, really pushing legislators to try and get something moving. This will provide regulation of the machines, because right now they're not regulated. They don't report to like the same institutions that banks and credit unions do. They're not insured for that type of loss that might take place. And they have no limits. So they can have me go and keep depositing money. We've seen people out $20, $30, $100,000 of their life savings, thinking that they're solving the problem. So part of this legislation puts restrictions on the amount a user can use in a day, which
and
will
slow down. And I believe it's capped at $500 per day.
$500 per day is correct, which will, it may not prevent everything, but it might not financially ruin somebody that falls victim to a scam. They learn a very expensive lesson, but it's not taking their life savings away.
It would require identity checks. So they'd have to take a photo of the person at the kiosk. You'd have a photographic evidence of them being there.
Right. This is a great investigative help. And I think in more cases, it'll act more as a deterrent. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen that states that have regulations against these kiosks, the scams using them declines and diminishes very quickly. Wisconsin is one of the few states in the nation that doesn't have regulation for them. And so it's a hotbed. Years ago, when this first started, we were keeping a tally of the number of dollars that Wood County residents had been victimized. And it was just a large, large number in the hundreds of thousands just from a few cases. And like I said, we've seen people losing their life savings, funds that they're going to send their kids to college with, retired people that were needing that money to live with or to live on, and all for no valid reason. These kiosks, the companies that argue serve a legitimate business purpose, people that are investing in crypto can do so online without the huge fees, without the same risks that are incurred, and it's not cash being taken from you. So this regulation will go a long ways into treating these like a financial tool, a much more legitimate one, such as an ATM. You don't expect to granted you're withdrawing from an ATM, but you don't expect to just put in your stuff and all of a sudden have thousands of dollars wiped from you.
Really hope not.
No.
None of us can afford that.
So again, our department's been very passionate about it. We're very pleased to have been included in the opportunity to testify in Madison for this bill. We've been very passionate about protecting our victims. And we were actually kind of leading the way with regards to how we were handling these investigations. We had people from the state, people from all over, smaller agencies and larger ones throughout the state, asking how we were doing this to protect our victims. And again, it was a tough road at times because it was difficult because it was murky waters. It was it was uncharted waters, but that was a commitment our department made to protecting and trying to make our victims whole in Wood County.
And if you could comment on what you were hearing from these other agencies and other counties and places around Wisconsin about their level of scams that they're seeing happen there.
It's definitely a statewide problem. It's just there hasn't been one telltale way to respond to it because of the lack of regulation of these machines. So the businesses that run these kiosks, you have a convenience store owner who is probably getting paid by one of these cryptocurrency companies to have their kiosk there. Now they're victimized, and they're just everybody except these major corporations that are based wherever else in the nation or in the world even. They're getting their money, and everybody else here in Wisconsin that's falling to these is becoming a victim. It's not unique to Wood County. It is a statewide issue. I would venture to say it would be a nationwide issue absent the regulations that are in place in most states. I'm very hopeful that this passing legislation will act as a major deterrent to these companies and keep them from doing or allowing this type of thing to happen to our people in Wisconsin.
And in simple language, the bill makes crypto kiosks safer and more transparent for customers while giving operators a clear regulated framework that builds trust and reduces legal and fraud risks.
Yes, and it gives us a larger window to recover that those funds.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's like a 30-day reporting period in there. If somebody finds out they fell victim to a scam, they can report it using the appropriate channels, and then the legislation would require the companies then to work with us to get the funds back to the victim.
All right. Well, let's take a brief pause here to hear from our sponsors. I'm Alyssa Kay talking with Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis, and we're soon going to talk with Sheriff DeFabio. You're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I've been speaking with Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis, and we've been talking about the cryptocurrency legislation that is moving through to protect people in Wood County. But now we're going to move into this new program with Coordinated Response Specialist Cherith DeFabio. And you are the specialist for the Deflection Care Initiative, is that correct?
That is correct. So my position is a grant-funded opportunity that Wood County applied for and was granted. And Wisconsin is unique in that there's only one other state, being Ohio, that has state-level deflection initiatives. Which has provided a lot of funding to be able to get this going. So the concept of deflection is catching people very early on their journey that might need services, and to deflect them away from the criminal justice system so that they're able to get, whether it's drug treatment, mental health treatment, people with co-occurring disorders, to be able to get them the treatment and services that they need right away, as opposed to seeing them travel down a journey that ends in incarceration. Ultimately, it's a partnership where we're working with our public health department, with all of our law enforcement agencies, with our hospitals, and it's that collaboration of everyone coming together to the same table to be able to work together to get people the care that they need.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you obviously have privacy issues, like you can't share anything personal of anybody, but could you give us an example of a potential like client, of somebody that would work with you?
Absolutely. So we are starting off by developing two different pathways into our deflection programming. So the first one is called officer intervention. So we've been working with our district attorney's office on what charges they're willing to deflect. So we're looking at low-level offenses, misdemeanors, drug paraphernalia, maybe possession of THC, obstruction, disorderly conduct. So those low-level charges. So historically, officers out in the field had one tool. They were going to charge them, they were going to issue a citation, they were going to take them to jail. This gives those officers another tool.
Mm.
They don't have to, but what they have the opportunity to do is assess whether or not this person is good for deflection. So in this case, an officer would hold that charge instead of referring to the district attorney's office. And as long as that person was willing, because this is a voluntary program, that officer will hold that charge, they'll complete a referral into my program, and I'll get them connected to services. Those services are going to look like alcohol and drug treatment, like mental health treatment, peer support services, which ends up being what I see as a critical component. Peer support specialists have that lived experience, that very like relatable experience to be able to connect with these people and to just kind of help them maneuver what's sometimes a really complicated system to be able to get the services that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those services are housing, employment, job skills. And so it's really just catching those people early on to be able to get them connected.
And this is something maybe perhaps more of a systemic issue in society as a whole, of where people are trapped in a cycle of either poverty, or they grew up in a disadvantaged household. They didn't have good mentors to teach them how, and then they've made a series of poor life decisions that end up in a place like this. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but with a program like this, you can spot those things or those trends with them, and instead of throwing him into jail, or like you said, just putting out charges. Use a lot of jargon that I know that I don't understand, so I'm guessing listeners don't understand maybe either. But to have a something that you just made a bad decision, and now there are other options, and there are other pathways to helping you get your feet flat on the ground and making better decisions in life.
Absolutely. So oftentimes we see people on their worst possible day.
Hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to see people just end up in a criminal justice system that doesn't allow them to get better.
Mm.
And ultimately, we want to be able to see a person as a whole and treat them holistically so that we're looking at that whole picture and taking that piece and working with them for a very client-centered approach. What do they want to see happen? And you're right. Oftentimes, they're coming to the table with a family history of challenges, with histories of trauma, and we really want to be able to provide that intersection where they can get better.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, if you would, for me, with these partnerships that you work with other agencies in the county, and what that would look like for a person as part of the system
Absolutely.
Or this program.
So we are partnering with our public health, and our public health provides lots of different services. But for our piece, there's a couple. So it could look like harm reduction. So people that are maybe actively using and are still in that contemplative state of change, where we just want to get them through that. So those are your needle exchanges, your Narcan distribution, keeping people alive and healthy till they get to that place where they can break free from whatever that cycle is that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
They also provide us with the opportunity to be able to do that referral so that they can get in and have either an alcohol and drug assessment or a mental health assessment, and then be able to follow through with treatment and services. We also have a partnership with Three Bridges. Three Bridges offers that peer support, that housing assistance, the job skills, mm-hmm. being able to have those regular check-ins so that when people are struggling, that they have someone that they can reach out to that's very connectable, very relatable for them.
So it almost sounds kind of more of a mentorship.
Absolutely.
And while the variety of issues that you look at and that you're dealing with this program, you have the knowledge to be able to know where to connect them and who to refer them to throughout this program.
Absolutely. And part of that will be our intake process. So let's take, for example, somebody gets referred for disorderly conduct, let's say. But after meeting with them, we discover that maybe they're struggling with alcohol abuse. Maybe they're struggling with their mental health. Maybe it's that co-occurring piece of life issues that are going on. Maybe they have a relationship issue. Maybe they lost their job.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, right?
Right?
Life happens to people, and it just doesn't always go the way that we want it to.
That's very true.
So in that initial intake, I'll be able to do some assessments and work with them about what they're identifying as their challenges and be able to work with them to get them connected to the services that
and
they're looking
all
for.
All of this is completely confidential.
Absolutely.
For the person that you're working with, and then the referrals, much like if someone's going to therapy or going to their doctor, like these are not things that, because a lot of these issues and things that we're talking about, they come with some stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Like mental health and those things, we're starting to talk about them more openly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still hard for people in those situations to be open about that.
Absolutely. And part of this is reducing that stigma and normalizing those challenges that a lot of people are facing. During that initial intake, we'll go through like releases of information and those assessments so that they'll know and be agreeing to anything that we would be disclosing to any other agency.
Mm-hmm.
I anticipate that my role as case management behind that will be for a period of about 6 months. It can be extended. It can be shortened. Again, it's a voluntary program. They can withdraw if they feel that they don't need the services anymore. As far as what I foresee with charges being deflected, there will be certain things that they will have to contractually agree to complete. And again, it's going to be very client specific. We're not going to have this one size fits all.
It's not a cookie cutter.
It is not, because people are not cookie cutters.
Right. So you've only been in this position since, is it November?
Correct.
How have you, are you happy with, like, how's it going so far?
So our first few months has been a lot of policy and procedure development and educating our staff and those that we'll be working with about what this program is, what services we'll be able to offer, and how we're going to move forward together collectively and collaborate together.
Okay. Well, if anybody has questions, is there a way they can reach out?
Absolutely. They can reach out by contacting the Wood County Sheriff's Department and asking for the Coordinated Response Specialist.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for the time today, Sheriff.
Thank you.
I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Chief Deputy Quentin Ellis and Cherith DeFabio of the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Thank you both for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to listeners joining us for News in Our Community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.